Well, Richard, I've always seen myself as your warm-up man, so this will be no different. Hopefully, I didn't damage anything, really. Let's just... Well, my dear chums, I'm sorry if I kept you waiting. I used to blame it on the mayor, but now I just think it's the marvellous improvements he's made to the traffic system. Very nice to be here. I was very sorry to learn that the author, J.K. Rowling's new novel, doesn't paint parishes in a particularly flattering light. But of course, that's fiction. But in the spirit of the boy wizard, I think people love a parish because you are localism's magic wand. Since the Local Government Act 1894, you've been providing unrivaled help to the smallest of villages, to the largest of towns. And the principle you embodied is hardwired into the social DNA of every hometown, every village, in every single era of our history. And because you care about your areas, and because you're rooted in places that you love, you are prepared to do something about it. You know, in recent days, as floods have drenched our towns, we've seen parishes from Oxford to Devon coming out to the rescue again, whether it's laying sandbags, battering down the hatches, working with police and fire crews, doing everything they can to save our local communities. And in this great year of celebration, the Jubilee and the Olympics, we've seen parishes stepping into the spotlight, organising big lunches, street parties, and helping the celebrations get into a proper swing. That's why when I find a new parish in a rural or an urban area like Queen's Park in Westminster, I cheer them to the rafters. Because our local services are at the best when they're run by local people. So let me say to the NALC that the role you continue to play, championing local people, ensuring their voice resounds loud and clear in the corridors of power, is absolutely vital. Now, we all know parishes have the credibility to lead their communities. So we've made sure that, so far as possible, you're leading the shots. We've cut through a jungle of red tapes that tied you up in knots. We've scrapped the standards board that summed up everything that was wrong with local government. Instead of wasting taxpayers' money on frankly petty squabbles, we're letting the sunlight of transparency shine through. Localism, of course, requires local accountability. And although some councils are concerned about publishing their business interests, the names of their spouses, the pictures of their pet goldfish. But in our light touch guidance, only one of the above needs to be on the record. I won't tell you which one, I'm sure you can work it out yourself. As for bullies and as for liars, they must face the full force of the law. Ultimately, we must trust the people. We put decent people in, and if we get it wrong, then we won't elect them at the next election. It's a kind of light touch minimalism. The standard board apart, we've got rid of the childish power of well-being, which died a death every 4 years. And we've given you a general power of competence instead to qualifying councils. Councils can now do anything an individual can do unless it's specifically ruled out. These days, you don't have to get things signed off in triplicate. If you want to, for example, turn a community composting or transform a village pub into a Wi-Fi hotspot, the power of general confidence means you're only limited to your imagination and to your ingenuity. And when it's combined with new community rights, That lets you bid to control local services like street cleaning or STEP to save a much-loved community asset like the aforementioned local pub. The implications are, of course, far-reaching. Of course, some parishes will need training in the art of power. I'm not entirely sure you need to dust down your copies of The Art of War. Actually, I don't think that's probably a bad thing to do anyway, but just log on to My Community Rights website instead. Actually, I strongly suspect the more power you grab, the more power that you will want. That's why we've introduced neighbourhood planning. With the help of the National Planning Policy Framework, the days of wasting time on the amount of the projection of a window has gone. So too, the pettifogging bureaucracy of the old Soviet master planning. We've put local people at the heart of the system. So you get to decide where the new homes, the new shops, the new offices should go, and which green spaces to protect. It's your chance to remould your area to your image. In the neighbourhood, frontrunners are already blazing their trail in Upper Eden. 17 parishes are beavering away in the most sparsely populated area of the country to provide housing for farmers and for rural businesses. And they're hoping to hold the first ever neighbourhood plan referendum in March of next year. Well, I can't wait. I'm also pretty excited what's going on in the city of Ripon, where they're working out how to allocate land for 160 homes. So we trust genuine power in the hands of local people. Now it's over to you to get parishes in order, to build proper neighbourhoods, to choose activism, not NIMBYism, and to make sure you're not overburdening hard-working folks with increased taxes. It hasn't escaped my notice that at a time when most districts are freezing their council tax, the average parish precept has gone up by 3%. And the trend is seeing parish increase outstrip the rest of local government. I've made it clear that we will look again at council tax referendum principles. But as a general rule of thumb, you really need to ask yourselves this. Can you square any rise with the electorate? How will it really look in the eyes of local folks? Have you really done everything you can to manage your resources, work with others, and make the most of what you've got? The last point is critical because there is one thing neighbourhood budgets have shown. It's the advantage of looking beyond your borders. Like Ilfracombe in Devon, where they're digitally mapping their resources, or Haverhill in Suffolk, where they're bringing local businesses and local agencies together to equip young people with local skills for local businesses' need. But if you don't know where to look, my department is ready to help. We're proud of our parishes. You're out there in your communities revolutionising local services, bringing your civilising influences to bear all around you. We've given you the power, but now we're looking for you to deliver. So be vigorous. Be full of innovation. Be independent. Above all, never forget the people you serve, and you won't go far wrong. Thank you very much indeed. I'm very happy to answer questions.
Right, we're going to take questions in groups of three. And can you just ask a question, please, rather than a preamble? So we'll start here, and then we'll go to the back with the gentleman in the jumper, and then there's a gentleman with a beard on the right there. So, sir, in the middle with a suit.
Good afternoon, Minister. My name's Peter Corkin and I'm from Keighley. An area I think you may know.
Keighley. I know Keighley.
I live in Oakwith. I think you also know that quite well as well.
My old name is Oakwith.
Right, I've just listened to your speech there. I'm quite interested in one small part of it. And my question is this. In the light of the extra services towns and parishes are encouraged to take on, can the Minister explain why the billing authorities and large precepting authorities are to receive funding of 2.5% if they do not increase their bills, whilst towns and parishes get nothing?
Thank you. Right. Yes, gentleman there.
Hi, I'm Ted Flanagan from Paddington Development Trust. We're supporting residents in Queen's Park with the setup of London's first parish council that the Secretary of State cited recently as an inspiration to communities across the country. We want this model to be fit for purpose in the 21st century, but we can already foresee a number of barriers to efficient, effective and economic delivery of services in the old legislation. For example, it isn't possible to issue electronic notices or agendas to members or to address urgent business without full notice. Is the legislative reform order the appropriate way forward, or should there be a short government non-controversial parish councils bill before the next general election?
Thank you. And the gentleman on the table there. Can you wait, please, and say who you are and from which parish? And somebody asked me which county.
Mike Drew, Yate Town Council, South Gloucestershire. Given that the town councils are taking on services from the unitary authority, spending the same amount of money on it, yet does not receive any council tax, any council grants from government, how do you expect us to provide that service without increasing the precept?
Thank you.
Let me do those in turn. First of all, the reason why you're not getting any money from us is we don't give you any money in the first place. So that's the relationship. The second point is I'm very willing to look at ways of increasing efficiency. It's got to be on the basis, though, of transparency. People have got to know that you are meeting. I don't know of any particular reason why you shouldn't be able to do things electronically. And the third point is, well, it's up to you. You've got to negotiate with the districts. You've got to be able to, you do have a right now to bid, to take over their services. And if you take over their services, the money comes with it. And well, just show some gumption. Show some strength. We've given you the power to bid. We've given you the power to take over. If you can take over their services and produce that service at a lesser price, the money follows.
The lady from Campbelltown.
Isabella Fraser, Campbell Park Parish Council in Milton Keynes. Two one-liners. You've given us the powers to do only what I consider bricks and mortar issues. Why no social capital issues? Buying a pub ain't social capital. And more important, you've given us all these powers with very little developed capacity. Why no top slicing from, similarly to the LGA, why no top slicing to allow us to do meaningful training to develop capacity?
I'll take 3 years.
Gentleman there. You, sir, waving your pen.
I'm Mick Waterson. I'm town clerk at Chiltern Town Council. We've spent 2 hours this morning talking about the localism agenda and the impact on local councils. Could I ask the Secretary of State if he believes that the U-turn that he's made this week in terms of providing the funding certainty for local councils as a result of the localisation of council tax benefit is actually going to serve to completely undermine the localism agenda on the grounds of economic inability to deliver the services?
Third question, Eric. Gentleman in the green tie.
Terry Simpson, Town Clerk of Ringwood Town Council. Secretary of State, so often in the past, financial incentives have been given to town and parish councils to take over services. At the moment, we are being guaranteed a share of the community infrastructure levy. is there a guarantee that's going to go beyond the 2 years, or is it going to disappear back to the principal councils at the end of that period?
We make an announcement about the infrastructure levy very soon. There will be a strong local sum percentage in there to retain. Now, we've not made the announcement, but it is possible. I've seen some speculation to suggest that if a local area has a neighbourhood plan, then that local amount might be larger. I clearly can't comment about whether that's an accurate reflection or not, but that might well be true. Now, with regard to the other questions, the political question about benefits, let me be absolutely clear. Local authorities received the localised sum for council tax benefit. We expected them, given the growth of council tax benefits, to share in the nation's desire to cut back on public expenditure, so we gave them a modest 10% cut. If those local authorities then go about the process of getting people back to work, they will keep 100% the money that they save. And an uptake to the economy, those authorities will do rather well. However, I was very shocked that a number of lazy authorities were not interested in getting people back to work, but were more interested in taxing the poor. I was so shocked by this that I decided to offer an inducement to local authorities not to tax the poor, but if they put in a scheme that didn't take more than 8.5% from an individual person, they would receive additional help from me. This is just for 1 year, but it's certainly my intention to legislate in future years to prevent local authorities from taxing the poor rather than helping to assist them get into employment. The other question is, well, why don't you give us some money? Well, we're not going to do that. No government's going to do that. If you've got a reasonable case to make with your districts and your county, then negotiate with the counties. Also be bold about taking over other services.
Thank you, Eric. Lady there, no problem. Gentleman there, and lady here. It's working.
Sam Chippin, I'm the town clerk at Seaford Town Council in East Sussex. Can you tell us whether you're prepared to lift the burden on those councils with a budget of between 140,000 and 200,000 who currently have to publish their council tax to each of the taxpayers, and whether you're prepared to move that level to 200,000 in line with the transparency regulations?
Thank you. Gentleman there.
Jim Devlin, Billericay Town Council, which I'm sure the Minister knows is in Essex. During your speech, you referred to precept increases by local councils, and I just want to know if the Secretary of State is minded to extend the excessive increase powers to cover local councils.
Thank you. And thirdly,
Christine Walton, Great Ayliffe Town Council. You talked about town and parish councils putting up their precept. So in order to assist the town and parish councils so they don't have to increase the precept, to support the local provision of services by town councils, will the government please look at the possibility of an exemption from the national non-domestic rates on council-operated properties, such as public toilets, cemeteries and council offices and facilities?
Okay, Eric.
The question from Sussex, to tell you the truth, it's not at the forefront of my mind, but I'm sure some officials have taken note of that. I'll have a look at that at that point. With regard to the excessive principle, it's not my intention to do it for next year. I am very much looking at larger town and parish councils. In some cases now, their bill is getting as large as a district council, and I think your electorate deserves the opportunity to be consulted on something like that, but I won't take the decision lightly. With regard to the last question, no.
Lady with a hand on the rear table there. Then gentlemen, would you start with the gentleman in front of you, please?
Thank you. Kevin Wilson, Wilton Community Council, Milton Keynes. My question refers to your U-turn on the localisation of council tax benefits that you announced earlier this week. It's why, and it's a why question, why have you decided to do this U-turn in the knowledge that it's going to have a devastating impact on the council tax base and the resources of many parish and town councils? In the case of my council, reducing the council tax base by a massive 39% as a consequence of having over half of the population dependent on benefits. Why did it take you from October the 9th when the consultation closed till just a couple of days ago to make this devastating announcement right in the middle of the budget setting period? And why
Thank
have you
that,
not...
That's a good question. Can we just stop there, please, to give somebody else a chance? Lady there, and then the lady behind you, Lisa.
Please. Thank you, Pauline Waterson. I'm Town Clerk at Spennymoor Town Council in County Durham. I don't think the Minister answered the question asked by my colleague with regard to the U-turn. Perhaps you can clarify in answering the question that's just previously been raised. But I have a question of my own. Why, and this is a very easy, simple question, you've talked about training in the art of power, and you've talked about training in the art of war. You've talked about transparency and gumption. Why do you get, you consult, and you get an overwhelming response, 240 two councils respond in a manner, 16 respond in the opposite manner, and you choose to act in line with the 16. We've heard a lot about consultation in local government at principal and parish level over the years, but I'm amazed at the response to that consultation exercise. Can you answer me why you've done that?
Thank you.
Why bother to consult in the first place?
We've got the message there. Thank you.
And the lady there.
Hi, my name is Catherine Kent and I'm with Campbell Park Parish. One of the questions I'd like to know is, you talked about the support of residents and people fighting to keep their green land around them. In Buckinghamshire, we're losing a lot of land to housing. And after this week's statement, what support are the residents in those areas going to have to stop losing more of their green land now that the rules have been changed? The other question is that my colleague next to me didn't get her questions answered.
Thank you. Then we're going to go along the back row and come to here, please.
I think your colleague next door might have got an answer that she wanted, but she got an answer. I mean, it's nice to know that the pliant Labour councillors are taking handouts. I don't recognise the term U-turn. Let's be absolutely straight why we've done it. We exempted pensioners because there's no way you could reasonably expect a pensioner to find employment. We exempted the vulnerable. I have to say I was appalled at Labour councillors wanting to tax the elderly. I was appalled at Labour councillors wanting to tax students. I was appalled at Labour councillors trying to tax the vulnerable. All that was left were people on low incomes. And rather than help these people, offer them friendship to get them into employment, people took a decision as high as 30% to tax these vulnerable people. The reason why I introduce this, and frankly, I've no idea why people are talking about an announcement this week. I announced it well in excess of a month ago, was somebody needed to protect poor, vulnerable people from the viciousness of the Labour Party. Though that's why I did it. I'm sorry it's put in political terms, but if people want to mention things in politics, I've got no response. Now, with regard to consultations, they're not a referendum. I'm not asking for people to vote. I'm looking for the quality of the response. And in some cases, sometimes you get quality responses from minorities. That's called democracy.
Thank you. Gentleman with the microphone.
Ian Orton from London Coney Parish Council. Any thoughts on a percentage of the business rate being transferred to parish and town councils? The reason we ask in our village, we are fortunate to have a very large shopping complex with all the benefits that brings, work for our young people, etc. But we also have the downside with the crime, etc., etc. Some of the business rate would help oil many of the problems.
Thank you. Gentlemen, that, and then if you could come forward to this.
Minister, Peter Nutting from Shrewsbury Town Council. I don't want any of your money, but...
Well, that's related.
Can the council tax demand notice be made clearer so that the true comparison can be made between the spend of a town council without any benefit of grant or NNDR and the district council currently shown after grant and NNDR? Or indeed give us the opportunity to put a pamphlet in that explains what we do and why we want the money.
Thank you. And the lady here.
Margaret Ward, Keighley Town Council. Keighley Town Council asked Bradford to have services devolved. Certain services, we would like the markets, we would like various other things, town centre manager. We were told no. And then Bradford Town Council devolved, in inverted commas, all these services to one of its own committees, the area committee, and so actually delegated it to a committee of their own. I want to know, please, how does this fit with localism, and is it within the spirit of the Localism Act?
Okay, okay. Well, with regard to that, if Keighley Town Council feels it can run Keighley Market better than Bradford, then you've got a right to bid, so put a bid in. And with the bid, if you're successful, comes a funding stream. So that will be my advice. With regard to the business rates, now I think we are now starting to move into a very different world in terms of how we expect the different layers of government to behave with one. First of all, I've dropped a very broad hint with regard to the community infrastructure levy, and there will be an announcement about that very, very soon. It's about the relationship between counties and districts. If you are working together on a joint programme for the betterment of a particular area, I have got no objection whatsoever for parishes, districts and counties sharing finance and sharing their sovereignty. I've got no problems about that whatsoever. And I think if the parishes are adding value to that process, I have got no problem whatsoever about coming to arrangements locally about the share of business rates. But the government doesn't intend to prescribe any changes to the way in which business rates are regulated subject to the latest act. And in regard to the making the bills clearer, well, I'll bear that in mind next time we look at the information required to be published or as part of the bill going out.
So let this committee, if we deal with that.
Yeah.
Could you repeat your question? Because I don't think I...
No, I did answer it. I said, if Keighley Town Council wanted to run the markets, then they've got a right under the Localism Act to put a bid in to run the markets.
But they have delegated those devolved things to another of their own committee.
But you still have a right to put in a bid. You still have an absolute right to do that. And I would suggest you do it. And if you've got any worries or concerns about how that that should be done, there is plenty of help available in terms of putting together a community bid.
I'm very sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but there's a gentleman in the beard who's just opened his book to hide his face, who's just said, the minister has to go. It's unsatisfactory, but I'm very grateful to Eric for what he's given us this afternoon. Thank you very much, Eric.
Very nice to see you all.